Have you ever had anybody that you've heard say, boy, I really wish I could go back and do that all over again? You ever seen one of those social media Facebook questions that says, you know, if you could go back and live your life over again, knowing what you know now, would you do it? And there's usually just a huge variety of answers that come out. I would not go back. I don't want to be a teenager again, or, you know, whatever. I got married. I don't want to be, you know, not married anymore, whatever. Lots and lots of choices that people make. Some people very much would like to go back and do things over again. Well, have you ever really thought about that? That's actually what Jesus offers when he tells us you must be born again. It actually is an opportunity to go back. Now, I have no idea where this lesson topic came from this week for me, but it just something made me think about the idea of being born again. If Jesus, when he was answering Nicodemus, and we'll look at John chapter 3 here in just a moment if you want to go ahead and turn there. John chapter 3. But as he was talking to Nicodemus, you know, he really didn't just give him a command. You must be born again. It's really, he was offering him an opportunity. To some degree, it can be read and understood. You know, did you know that you can be, and therefore you must be, born again to be a disciple of Christ? To be in favor with God, that you have an opportunity to do it again, better. And you can still know everything you know now, whether that's good or bad, to let inform you of how to not live. That you can go back, you can do it all again, knowing what you know now. John chapter 3, and verses 3 through 6, and we'll read just the first part of the conversation, where Jesus introduces this idea. Of course, Nicodemus is a Pharisee who came to Jesus by night. And he recognized and told them that many of the rulers recognized that he came from God, because no one could do the things he was doing unless they had. And then Jesus really didn't address his reputation or any of those things that were just said that might have glorified him to some degree. But he turned to Nicodemus to challenge him to think in a way that he was used to making other people think as a teacher in Israel. And Jesus said, answering him about that if he's come from God and you recognize in that, then let me give you my answer. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. We'll stop there. So Jesus is telling them that you've got to be born again to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. If you want to, and they thought they were in the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus thought he was teaching the kingdom of God when he taught the people the Jewish law that he was a master teacher of, according to the community. But then he struggles with this question. Well, how is it that a man can be born again when he's old? I don't really know what this man was picturing exactly, but he really does, by his answer, seem to indicate the idea of going back into his mother and going through the birth process again somehow. Going back through his mother's womb and being born. And Jesus says, that's a fleshly birth. I'm not talking about a fleshly birth. I'm talking about something spiritual. That if you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God, and that is a spiritual teaching. So someone who is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, he really gave him all the keys to understand this right there in those two verses, verses 5 and 6. But the conversation does go on, and I do wonder what the face of Nicodemus was and how Jesus looked at him when Jesus explained further, and then he said, how can these things be? I only imagine Jesus kind of a little incredulous at him not receiving this idea of some kind of spiritual teaching, just almost none. Jesus was not talking about a physical birth again. He's talking about a spiritual birth. But it's also not just a refreshing. It's not just a restart or what we might term a reboot in our vernacular. He is talking about a new life altogether, a new life. The Lord uses this term as he inspired other writers to talk about it. And I'll ask you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So Peter threw in the middle of this conversation here about the idea of being purified through the truth of the Spirit, the being born again, not of corruptible seed. In other words, not the fleshly birth, like Nicodemus had started to misunderstand and Jesus corrected. But of an incorruptible seed, that's a spiritual seed. Only the spirit is incorruptible. All of flesh is corruptible. And that incorruptible seed is implanted and grows by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So this new life that we're born into is a spiritual life that continues on forever through the word of God. That's being born again. Not to simply go through the same process that was done before, but a new process. But it is birth, and it does produce a new creature. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And so again, it's not a restarted person, a refreshed person, or a rebooted person. This is a new creature, a new being. And so as I watched the birth and kept up with it from a little distance and then saw this new child that had been born into the world hours before I got to see him there, you know, this was a brand new human being that was came into the world. Completely new, completely fresh. It gave me the idea to think about the idea of becoming new again, but what about a child that is born like that, that knows all that we have learned, all that we know, both of good and of evil? Of good to do and now set our mind to do it, and of evil to not repeat it, to learn, have learned the consequences and learned that it's of no value, its end is death. And we're given a new opportunity to be an innocent, newborn creature before God. So again, I emphasize, I don't think Jesus was giving a command as much as he was stating the opportunity that God is affording us. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. You must become a new creature, and I will make all things new by my word. You will become a new creature of incorruptible seed. Brought about by the word of God and kept for living for eternity. Finally, let's look at Romans chapter 9, verse 11. I can't tell you that I've ever used this verse for something like this before, but there is meaning in it to help us understand something about this new creature. If we're trying to learn what this new creature is all about, we can look at the human birth, because that is the comparison that's being made. Jesus says you must be born again. Well, you're really only going to be born one time as a spirit in the sense that this is. And so he's meaning for us to compare it to the fleshly birth, but not to assume that we have to redo the fleshly birth. It is still a spiritual birth. But there's an understanding we can have about what God is doing to bring us out as a new creature by examining and looking at the fleshly birth when it is given. And one of the truths about that fleshly birth is the condition of the child when he came into the world. When Archer was born, he came into the world in a certain condition that is different than all other beings that live on the earth after a while, who come to a knowledge of the truth and choose sin. He has none of that in his life yet. And this verse speaks to that. In Romans chapter 9, Paul is actually making an argument that not all of those that were born of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob were the seed of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that were intended. Because the intention was to give them a law to be the people of God. But many of them who were born by the physical seed of those great fathers of faith chose not to serve God, never wanted to be obedient to him, or started and fell away and corrupted themselves without return, and they were not the children of God that God wanted. And so it was not that that just because they were born of that physical seed, that they were part of the kingdom of God. The same exact point Jesus was making in John chapter 3 without going into this detail. Paul is now elaborating on it in Romans chapter 9. But notice this verse that he says as he's describing these two children that were being born. Either comparing it, you can compare Isaac and Ishmael who were born that way, but it really is Jacob and Esau that he has in mind here who were in the womb together. And verse 11 says that God had a plan, but he says, but for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Now the point of that is, of course, that God was bringing these things to come about in the history of Israel that would lead to the Christ through two beings who had done neither good nor bad. But when was that true? When they were in the womb and when they came into the world. When they entered the world, they had done neither good nor evil. That is a new creature that does not know sin, that has not done anything wrong, hasn't accomplished any good just yet. But it is a good thing that a man was brought into the world, the scriptures tell us. But he comes in with no evil whatsoever and clean. And that verse helps me understand how to tell someone that a child is born completely innocent. When we're born again of the Spirit, we are made completely innocent. Because that's the comparison that's made. That we come into the world renewed as a new creature, innocent of sin, cleansed of all unrighteousness, ready to serve God and accomplish His good will, because we also have knowledge. And we know things that we didn't know when we were a child. Archer doesn't know anything. We, when we're born again, can know a lot. We have to learn a lot. We might have to change a lot of things in our mindset about the way we do stuff. But we're a new creature, and we're as innocent as that newborn child. It's an opportunity to be a new creature, to be born again into Christ Jesus, and to be born again is needful so that we can be in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, these new creatures make mistakes sometimes, and we have to make corrections in our lives. And that's the message for us tonight. Most of us in the room simply need to examine ourselves and make sure that we stay as innocent as doves, that we keep faithful to God. And when we falter, just like we mentioned with Simon in the class briefly, that he was told to repent of the things that he needed to repent of so that he could be back refreshed again from sin and be that new creature that he was born to be. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, if this has been an encouragement to you and you'd like to make any kind of correction known in your life so that we can pray for you and with you and support you in those changes you want to make in your life, then we're going to stand right now and sing this song of encouragement, and we ask you to come forward.
Story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life for Calvary. Thank you.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the day that you have blessed us with and for this time we've been able to gather together to learn from your word, Father, to hear another message brought from your word, to learn to, and come to understand that as we are, as we obey your truth and your gospel, Father, we can be born again, Father, that we can live a new life, leaving the world behind us, Father, and to look ahead towards you. Father, we're mindful of those that are traveling this evening. We pray for their safe journey. We're mindful, Father, of those that are sick and dealing with physical ailments. As well, Father, we rejoice and are thankful for Ansley and for the birth of Archer and for keeping them safe during the birth. We're thankful, Father, for seeing her through all that. Father, we're thankful for the elders that labor here. We pray that you would give them wisdom in leading the flock that is here. Father, we pray as we go throughout the remainder of this week, we pray for your guidance in the things that we do. Father, we pray for your hand to be upon us, Father, to help us through the tough times that come to us, come upon us, Father, but most of all, Father, to help us to resist the evil one, Father, that we can fulfill our hope that we have in Jesus through the sacrifice that he gave for us. And we offer this prayer in, through his name. Amen.
Yeah, that's what it's about.